The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This week's segments include On the Needles,
When Knitting attacks,
and Events. Come on, let's chat. Welcome back, listeners. Sorry for the late podcast. Mom wasn't feeling well over the weekend, so we didn't record.
But I'm feeling much better now, and let's talk about fun stuff.
Exactly. Well, let's get right into the meat of it and start with On the Needles. What's on your needles?
Well, let me tell you what's off my needles first.
You have foes. I have foes.
I finished the Olympic sweater.
Uh-huh.
And I finished the Waves and Pierce socks out of the little box of socks that I made out of Regia.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking around for some knitting to do.
Uh-huh.
And I think I ran out of UFOs.
Oh.
Just about. I couldn't find one sock I was happy with to just go on and mindlessly knit on. You know, I like having bouts of startitis.
Uh-huh.
Where I just start 5-10 projects.
Uh-huh.
And then I can just knit. And life has been a bit hectic lately.
It really has been.
In
lots of ways.
Yeah, in lots of ways. And
it's been hot. I haven't really, I don't know, but we'll get into my stuff.
Yeah, the weather is going to hit, 95 degrees, 100 this weekend?
It's already been that hot.
Yeah, and having a wool sweater in my lap really isn't what I enjoy when it gets that hot.
Me neither. Well, I've been finishing stuff too. I finished my Hedera socks, which I cast on over a year ago.
Yay!
And now they're finally done. And I will hopefully have a finished picture of them on Ravelry eventually. I also finished my fuchsia ribbon tank that I cast on when I got back from Maine. Now, that's, I'm sorry, let me go back. My Hedera socks are made out of the most beautiful copper-colored koigu that I bought at Stitches 5 years ago? 6 years ago?
Some years ago.
It was a long time ago. This koigu has aged well. But I was looking for, like, just the right project, you know?
How long have you been going to Stitches?
Since 1998, I think. Yeah. So it's not like vintage yet, right? What's the classification for vintage yarn that's still good? Like a good vintage? I don't know. It was a good year for koigu. So I still haven't knit the navy blue koigu I bought along with the beautiful copper koigu. So the Hederas are done. And the fuchsia ribbon tank is made out of the Tess Designer Yarns microfiber ribbon. It took me probably a skein and a quarter, but I bought the entire bag when I was there. Actually, I don't remember if she gave it to me.
You bought an entire bag of yarn?
Okay, let me get into the meat of it. This was before the agreement with Tika, so anybody who's keeping up on that, this was before that.
Jasmine 2000 previously?
Well, no, it was still Jasmine 2008 because this is how the math works. I've had the pink hair since April, and I'm really fond of it. And it keeps getting better and better. So the longer I have it, the more vibrant the color seems to get. But
which beats my hair color, which is getting grayer the longer I have it.
But still, I mean, like, really, the longer I've got it, the more vibrant it gets, which is great. The maintenance isn't fantastic, but hey, you can't have everything. So I was out in Maine, and I visited her physical shop in downtown Portland, which is beautiful and full of fabulous yarn. And I asked her if she had any fuchsia ribbon, and she said, yes, I do. And she dyes the ribbon, I think, in lots of 6 skeins. And I picked up 2 the first day I was there because it takes, you know, more than 1 but less than 2 to do a top for me. And then I went back because I always go back. Because I thought about it and I went, well, if I get 1 more skein, then I can do 2 tops. And then I can do two tops, but because my hair is such a bright color, it eliminates what I can wear, or some of what I can wear. So some of the stuff that I've knit before, I can't really wear anymore because
it clashes loudly.
It does. That red
and
ribbon
the hair
top,
wins.
The hair does win, but it doesn't. It's not flattering.
You know, red is a really good color on me, lovey.
But it's not your red. That's the problem. The red top that I wore is a beautiful shade of red when I have brown hair or black hair.
Jasmine wears stuff with red undertones well.
Yeah.
I need red with yellow undertones. I need to have red with blue undertones.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. And this was a red with yellow undertones. So it looks lovely on me when I have, you know, darker hair. Or if I had red, like crayon red hair, it would be fine. But I might look like a clown. But anyway. So we went back and I basically did the math and I can get, you know, a week's worth of ribbon tops out of 6 skeins. Which, to preface this, her microfiber ribbon is probably one of my favorite yarns to knit with. I've done at least a dozen ribbon tops out of it. I haven't kept all of them. I mean, some of them were models for her, and some of them were gifts and got given away. And I've worn them for years, and they wear so well in the summertime, and it's like knitting with water. I love working with it.
Explain knitting with water, because it's exactly what I was thinking.
It drapes and it runs through your fingers. Now, the caveat here is that you have to follow the directions that Melinda, who is Tess Yarns, and they're also a mother-daughter operation, by the way, in case you didn't know. Tess is the daughter, Melinda's the mom. I've known them for years, so is mom.
Yeah, I met them at Stitches West because
8 million years ago.
I'm not that old, thank you very much, but Tess was seven, eight years old then,
mm-hmm.
And Tess is a grown woman now.
Yeah, she's all grown up, like really grown up, so very pleasant young woman. Anyway, so I love the yarn, but you have to follow the directions. You have to wind it on a swift, and you can't use a ball winder to wind it. You have to wind it by hand, which is a little bit tedious, but it's well worth it. If you wind it on a ball winder, it becomes a tangled mess. I also really recommend using fray check on all of the edges and on your knots for joining. And really, with a yarn this slippery, you have to use knots.
We had people at the yarn store bring it. We didn't let it out of the yarn store unless it was wound.
Yeah, the yarn shop we worked at carried the test yarn for a while, but the issue is that it gets so tangled that Mom and I didn't let it leave the shop before it was wound. And it takes me, I think, maybe half an hour or 45 minutes to wind a skein of it by hand. But the way I do it is I put in an episode of something. In college, it was Star Trek, because that's what I had.
What did we watch last time when I bought your latest ball of...
Oh, when you were winding it?
Yeah. Something.
Was it Deadwood?
Possibly.
Big Bang Theory?
Wasn't it that shark misadventure?
Oh! So, Mom and I have been watching terrible shark movies, which is completely off topic, and we'll get back on topic.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would insist on watching really bad B-movies, creature features, on purpose.
This one was excellent because it's on Netflix Instant Watch, so if you can do that, do. It's Shark Attack in the Mediterranean.
It's German.
And it's dubbed into English, which is brilliant.
High Attack im Mediterranean Meer.
It's awesome. And the interesting thing is that unlike the other B-movies that I like to watch, the CG was pretty good, except that they modeled the sharks, the swimming animation, after dolphins, which made them scarier. But it was brilliant. It's a great film. You should watch it. But that's what we were watching when Mom was winding.
No, really, you don't want to watch it.
You do.
It's really bad.
Come to the dark side. So anyway, so Mom wound up all of the ribbon, and I just love working with it. If you've worked with it, great. If you haven't and you like to wear stuff that looks polished and professional, I really love it. It looks fantastic under a blazer.
Yes, it does.
And I wear it with slacks. I have a pair of gray and pink pinstripe slacks, so the slacks are gray with pink pinstripes, and I have a pink ribbon top that's like a pale pink, and it looks smashing. It's one of my favorite summer outfits to wear because the pants are light and the top is wonderful. So I couldn't recommend it more.
I like it too, and my office attire is totally different.
Yeah.
And it works for me too.
Yeah, it's really excellent. Everyone I know who's worked in like a traditional office can pull it off. So that's what I finished this week. I finished it the other night. I stayed up way too late because I was like, oh, I'm so close. So, and it's just my basic ribbon shell pattern that I designed myself like 5 years ago. And I've got like 8 of them because I've made 8 of them. What else have I been working on? Oh, I've been spinning. I've been spinning a lot. So I spun up this awesome day glow colored robing that I got from Crazy Monkey's Etsy site.
Day glow?
It's like 1980s day glow colors.
It's blinding.
I love it.
Is there any word for day glow that's more intense than day glow?
I'm not sure.
Like poking yourself in the eyes with a
retina
size,
burning?
Size 6 knitting needle.
Retina burning yellow?
Yeah.
Retina burning colors? Well, I had a hard week. I've had a couple of hard weeks, but we won't get into the whiny bits. But when things start to go sideways for me, I need bright colors. And since I have the agreement with Tika, I did not go on the internet and buy something new. I walked into my newly organized stash room, and I pulled down a bag of stuff that I had bought on Etsy for the express purpose of reviewing on either the podcast or on the blog. And there it was, like a beacon, pulsing with color. So I pulled it down and I spun it in like 3 days. And it plied up really beautifully. So as soon as I get it rinsed and hung and dried, I'm going to knit it up and take pictures of it. And you all can, you know, look at it in Ravelry and be like, oh my God, that does burn out your retinas. So.
So you're saying you're stress spinning?
Yeah, I've been, you know, it's been a week or two, so.
Oh, okay.
So we're processing. That's what we're doing. I've also been having a problem with finding the right knitting, if that makes sense. Like, the hot weather kills my knitting mojo. I don't know if you're like that.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I was digging through Ravelry today because I was chatting online with a friend who is obsessed with silk tweed, and so we were, you know, talking about it. Well, and
okay.
Oh, and so I was looking at what my friends had hearted and cued and favorited, and I tripped across the Henley Perfected from the Winter 2007 Interweave Knits. It's by Connie Chang Chinchio, and I hate it in the magazine. I found it completely unappealing in the magazine, but because of the joys of Ravelry and some fantastic photography, I saw someone else's that someone had favorited, and you can actually, if you go into my Ravelry and you click on my favorites, you'll see it. It's made out of bright green smooshy, and it is stunning. It looks nothing like the Henley in the magazine. She omitted the gal who did it omitted the buttons on the top, and it just looks like a really, really cool V-neck sweater with miles of stockinette stitch at the bottom, which is what I need right now. So I went stash diving, and I pulled out this, like a pale denim blue, the Elizabeth of old silky tweed, and I had more than enough to do the sweater. So I am doing it. I will link to this in the show notes, as we always do, and you can take a look at the one that inspired me. This is why I love Ravelry, because things that I would have just glossed over and ignored, you see someone else's version, you see someone else's pictures, and what a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, really. The model who's wearing it is flat-chested effectively, and the gal who did the version I'm copying effectively is not flat-chested. And the way she did it, like, she accounted for negative ease, and because it looks like she's the same size I am, I'm basically kind of doing what she did. But she made little alterations here and there that make a huge difference, and it's stunning. You'll know what I mean when you click on it. Go to the show notes. We'll you know, talk about the links at the end of the show, but do look. So I'm so excited about that. Speaking of my friend who's obsessed with silky tweed, we are looking for a copy of the Holiday 2007 Interweave Knits for my friend Lisa. If you find it, please shoot us an email. Again, that'll be at the end of the podcast. If you've got one, let's talk. Lisa really, really wants it, doesn't want to violate copyright, so let's make this happen. What else is new and exciting? Oh, permission slips.
Oh, yes.
So last week on the podcast, we talked about not needing a permission slip, or maybe needing a permission slip. So Mom and I went and we got business cards for the podcast. Now, these are just standard business cards, but on the back, they have a permission slip that says, "This grants official permission to change patterns at will. Knit more." So now we officially have a permission slip. We're hoping to raise a little cash for the podcast, and we're going to give these out at live and in person. But if you're not a local listener and you're not going to be at any of the events that we're at, we're happy to mail these out for a $1 donation. That will cover the stamp to mail it to you and a little bit of pocket change so that we can maybe go to events or cover our hosting fees or just little things, because I don't really believe in asking for money for nothing.
Nope.
And
tacky. I raised you better.
You did. And so, I mean, this is kind of... So these are just a lot of fun, and it's just a little something. If you want to contribute a little and get something little, this works.
Okay, we're not charging for them if we're giving them out in person.
No, this is only if we have to mail them out, because stamps and all that stuff cost money. And I figure, you know, what's a buck? Especially if you're getting something that's getting mailed to you. So,
would also make a very goofy gift.
A gift? Yep. I guess if you put it in with a pattern, with the backside facing. Yep. They're actually pretty snazzy.
They're very pretty. I really like the colors.
We spent an evening putting them together, so we had a lot of fun doing this. If you're not interested, cool. If you are interested, we have a PayPal button on the show notes on the right-hand side of that. So you just hit that, donate a buck, get a card with a permission slip on the back. So it's just a little thing. If you're not into it, fine. So that's that. Let's talk about fleeces. So Mom's going to be a little bit quiet probably because...
Mom doesn't spin a whole lot.
Mom also was incredibly restrained with her not buying fleeces at the wool auction. I had a listener...
I really enjoyed it, though.
It was
a lot of fun. I had a wonderful time, and I sat there and I had the whole experience wash over me. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Yes. And also, wool doesn't make me have an out-of-body experience like fabric does.
Wool really does it for me, so...
Yeah.
So. I can't complain. So I had a listener, I think it was Molly, mm-hmm. Ping me on Ravelry and say, you know, I love the podcast, but you didn't talk about the fleeces. So I'm whittling it down to the 6 fleeces that I have snippets of, as opposed to all 15 that we got, because I think that would get tedious after a while.
You got 15... fleeces?
Our group got 15 fleeces. I only got 2 fleeces by myself. Everything else I've got, you know, either a half or a third of. And Colleen got some by herself too, so less than 10, I think. Anyway, doesn't matter. Don't judge me. Don't look at me like that.
You're a grown woman. You're paying for it. You're storing it in your own house.
Just so you all know, she's looking at me cross-eyed. So anyway, the one cohesive theme of all of these seems to be merino or other soft things. There's one that's a little bit crimpier, and it looks like it could be a cormo, but they're all really soft, kind of short staple fleeces. They're all about 2 1/4 to 2 3/4 inch long staples for the 6 fleeces, and they're all gray. I bought 6 gray fleeces.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything gray. It's too close to the truth.
No, this isn't gray like gray hair. Well, one of them is gray like gray hair. But it's really pretty. It goes from like a... The lightest one goes from a silver gray, and then it gradiates to a little bit darker. So it's like 2 or 3 shades of gray in the one lock.
Sort of like a Jacob fleece? Or did Jacob fleeces have different colors on the sheep itself?
I don't know.
Okay, that...
I'm really into colored fleeces. That's really the story. I think I'm part of one white fleece, and it was a cormo, and it was a... I mean, we got... I think it's one of Sue Reuser's cormos. And the one that Colleen and Cynthia got, and I scammed a pound of from Colleen by batting my eyelashes at her and begging shamelessly. It spins like heaven. And it just, I mean, it's so soft and so crimpy, and I have a thing for merino.
I think Carlos started that.
Carlos isn't a merino, though. He's a Lincoln Corriedale. So I'm drawn to these luster long wools, but really, if the apocalypse were to happen tomorrow and all that was left were merino, I would be okay with that. I could spin merino for the rest of my life with no complaints. Not to say I don't like spinning other things, but merino is where my heart is. I like blue-faced luster, I like cormo, but really, a nice merino really does it for me. High crimp, soft, you know.
Stop it, you're drooling.
I know, all over the table. So, I've got a couple of... I got one that's like a gunmetal gray, which is fabulous, but kind of filthy. But it doesn't matter, because it's not coming home. Sherry from Moro Fleece Works will be taking care of that. One that's black with brown undertones, and these are all crimpy, like nobody's business.
So does brown with black undertones have a name?
I don't actually have the sheep's names with me.
Ah, okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't take a whole lot of notes about what we were bringing home because I handed off all the paperwork that was related to the sheep to Sherry, and I'll get it back eventually, just when it's clean. I think I'll talk about it more then, but I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. They're all merinos, they're all gray, and they're going to be lovely. So I'm really excited about them. I've actually got little snippets of the six sitting in front of me, and I just, when we were driving home, I told Andrew, I'm like, oh, you know, I really wish I had, like, not dropped them off with Sherry. And he looked at me like I'd been smoking crack. Because I don't clean fleeces, I don't card, I don't comb, I don't have time. What I enjoy is the spinning, not the cleaning.
You don't have inclination is what it is.
Well, that too. I mean, I just, given that I work full time and I have all sorts of other things that I'm much more interested in doing, like podcasting, it doesn't work for me. So people like Sherry are godsends as far as I'm concerned, because
absolutely,
that means I can buy fleeces still and I can pick the sheep my sweater comes from without having to deal with the poop and the dirt and the combing and the carding
and the bugs and the
everything. So
grass and...
I'm so pleased. So that's that. That was the fleece. I mean, the wool auction was fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to getting all of my fleeces in the mail and divvying everything up and rolling around in wool. Well, that seems like an appropriate time to segue into
When Knitting attacks.
So, Mom.
What kind of attack have you been suffering from?
No, why don't you go first?
Oh, okay, I can do that.
Yeah, why don't you go first?
Thank you. So, I finished my Olympic sweater. And the neckline was wavy. And not up to par. So I ripped out its throat. I looked at it and it said, sometimes in knitting you're in and sometimes you're out. And you're out. Auf Wiedersehen. And I ripped out the neckline. And re-knitted it twice, I think.
Uh-huh.
And now I like it. And I also undid the bind off at the hemline, and you either have a neckline that you bind off or a hemline that you bind off, but this is a neck down sweater.
Yeah.
And it didn't start with the ribbing, it started with a neckline, and I knitted it all the way down to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to pick up the neck stitches and start with the neck again.
Uh-huh.
And so I had basically bind off both at the hem and at the neckline.
But it looks much better now.
I'm glad you like it.
This was a trial and error thing for us. Like, Mom went back into my office and we dug up the needles, and it was a process, kind of trying to figure out what had gone right and what had gone wrong and where to fix it. So,
it was very educational in a lot of ways.
It was. It really confirmed to me the importance of using a smaller needle for the ribbing. Not that I needed more proof, but, you know.
Well, I was doing a smaller needle, but instead of two sizes down. I think I had to go four sizes down to get the right tightness. And let's see, what else did I learn? I also learned that I really like knitting sweaters. And
you don't say.
I do. I don't like finishing, having to finish them in 2 weeks.
No. But it's nice to know you can.
But it was a stretch finishing it. Despite the fact that it was a really easy project, it still was an effort to get it done.
Well, yeah. It's, I always feel like imposed deadlines, even if they're self-imposed, just take some of the joy out of the process.
They do.
So.
But if I can force knit a sweater in 2 weeks, I think I can crank out a sweater a month and still knit socks, because I still had, I still knitted on my socks here and there.
Yeah.
And I really like, I like the feel of knitting sweaters. And I have all this lovely sweater yarn that I want to knit myself and not leave in my will to you.
I appreciate that.
Because you have more than enough yarn to last you a lifetime.
Yeah, for now.
So for now. I really like it, but I don't like when you have to increase stitches at the beginning of the neckline. It doesn't make for a smooth neckline.
But you pick up those stitches anyway.
No, you cast them on.
No, you pick you them go. Up later. Like, they get hidden by the
I
the
know,
color.
But it's kind of not smooth, and I don't like it. So what I'm going to try is...
This is my couturier mother.
Thank you. I love you, too.
It's a good thing.
I know.
I just think it's so hilarious that something that is so obstructed visually bothers you so much. I mean, it's not funny. It's just interesting. Does that make sense?
It's the German work ethic.
Exactly.
And the German term for it is Maßarbeit, which is work that is exact. German workmanship, in essence.
Okay.
And it doesn't feel smooth enough to suit me. It's not exact. And I feel when I want to pick up stitches afterwards, my stitches are kind of crookedy and not exact. So I'm thinking of having a crocheted temporary cast on, provisional cast on, and picking up my neckline stitches out of the provisional cast on until I have enough for a neckline. And then when I'm ready to pick up stitches for the neckline, they'll be nice and smooth and even.
It's a great idea, actually.
You like it?
Of course I like it.
Impressing my child.
I'm not that hard to impress. I mean, I'm very hard to impress.
Well, wink, wink. It's harder to impress your brother. You have a very high opinion of me already.
I do. It's because I know you. the real mom. Anyway, my knitting attacked me. Seeing as I've been facing some challenges in the last couple of weeks, it turns out that I should not be doing high-level thinking of any kind. So I started a sweater. And I bought the mohair. I bought this, it's kid mohair that I bought at the Retzloff Winery from Janet Hepler. And we have pictures of it in one of the Flickr streams. That's it.
It's
the same color as my hair.
Yes, it is.
And Rachel of No Blog Rachel Notoriety, she does have a blog, link in the show notes. She got the same stuff, but in her hair color. And then I found...
Copper?
It's a really lovely copper. It's stunning. And then I found the pink. And so I had to have it. So I went and I cast on the Cardigan to Love by Linda Sear. It's a free Pattens pattern. They use Motadia. Clearly, if the gauge matches, you can use a different yarn. So I got it cast on. Oh, I did my gauge swatch first, too. I did my swatch, listeners. I did it. I cast on the sweater. I knit four rows of garter stitch. I did the first four rows of the lace pattern that's in the body. It's like the February... I'm sorry. As a visual description, this looks like the February lady sweater, but more finished, if you ask me. Because it doesn't have the garter stitch top, it's got a stockinette top, which I think looks more finished. It's not Elizabeth Zimmerman, but I like it. And Kathy, who is the queen of purple yarn, finished hers, and I saw hers in person, so it really kind of got my mojo going. So I dug up the yarn, and I swatched, and I cast on. And then on row 5 of lace pattern, the lace doesn't feel right. The decreases aren't falling in the right places. And I get to the end of the row, and I don't have the right number of stitches at the end of the row.
Oops.
And it's 11 o'clock at night, and I've had a long day, and it's mohair.
Oh.
And ripping out mohair is the devil. Seriously. So instead of picking up the sweater that I cast on yesterday, I dug into the stash and I cast on the Henley Perfected out of the silk tweed.
So you tried to tell your mohair that it was out?
I tried to oof my mohair and it...
Is that something rude?
Oh, you don't even know. Like, it's sitting in an angry pile on the piano, being beautiful and pink, but angry. Angry! So, yeah. My knitting attacked me. I've lived to tell a tale.
It sounds like the knitting has won so far.
It has. Like, when I realized it was off and I couldn't find where the off problem was, not only did I know it was time to go to bed, but I also knew maybe I should step away and work on something that's less involved initially. And that's the thing I love about, like, Gansey sweaters and, like, this sweater, because it's got the interesting stuff up towards the top of the body. So you do a mile of stockinette with shaping, and then you get into the fun part. And I'm hoping the sleeves won't bore me terribly on this, because they're, well, boring at the bottom and lace at the top, so...
So the score is knitting 1, Jasmine 0.
Yes. I'm hoping to fix that or maybe ask someone else to rip it out, but man, how discouraging. Seriously. I don't know.
Does that mean I get to discipline your yarn?
I think so, but when I was winding it, that entire side of the table. So I have my Swift and ball winder set up at the end of the table where my mom records. We sit at opposite ends of a 10-foot long dining room table, which is very glamorous for those of you who think that we have a recording studio. Poor Gretchen was surprised to find out that our studio is the kitchen.
This is California. We have to multipurpose.
Of course. We only have so much space. But the entire side of that table was, like, dusted in this...
Pink
haze. I mean, it wasn't pink. It was fuchsia. An angry fuchsia haze. So... maybe I'll ask Ursula to knit it for me. Just hand off the whole devil pattern to her. I don't know. We'll see. So, my knitting attacked me. I'm a little discouraged. I don't feel very bright because this is a fairly simple pattern. It shouldn't be this hard for me, but again, sometimes our capacity is not what it should be. Fortunately for both of us, we're going to take some time off and segue into events. Mom and I officially decided last night, which would be Thursday? What's today? Today's Friday.
Today's Friday.
Thank heavens. Okay.
You've been working too hard.
I have been working too hard. Really. Someone should write a letter. we decided officially that we were going to go to the California Sheep and Wool Festival that's held in Mendocino County in Boonville. Again, links in the show notes. We booked our hotel room. We got the time off from work. I think we called it official yesterday because our time off was approved. And I wasn't about to book a room before I had the time approved. So, we're going. You should look for us. We'll have business cards. We'll be there. It'll be great. I hear there's great food and a brewery, which I'm always up for. But we are super excited about this. Some of the vendors that we're big fans of are going. Tactile's going to be there. Carolina Homespun's going to be there.
Oh, excellent.
Sherry from Moro Fleeceworks is going to be there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And there's wool judgings and stuff. Now, I looked at the schedule today, and I'm totally bummed, because we're going to be there Friday, September 12th, and Saturday, September 13th, and we're leaving and driving home on Saturday,
yes.
So we're staying the one night, but the dog herding trials are on Sunday morning.
Oh.
And bummer. I love watching dog herding trials. I have my two beasties who you can sometimes hear in the background walking around eating or coming in and out of the dog door. But they do not herd. And watching these herding dogs is just incredible. If you have time to go, I really recommend it. If you can be there for Sunday, do it. We're probably going to be too tired to record, so hopefully this will last you guys if that's the case. But there's classes, there's vendors, there's sheep shearing on Saturday evening. The time wasn't posted on the schedule, but it's all really interesting stuff, and I've heard really good things about this particular festival, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. How about you, Mom?
I'm just excited. And I was thinking, when was the last time I got away?
I think it was when we went to Maryland Sheep and Wool, like 3 years ago. 2 years ago? Years ago.
Some time ago.
We didn't mention this before on the podcast, but we had tentatively planned to go to Rhinebeck this year, which was a little bit derailed because we're planning on remodeling. Andrew and I are planning on remodeling our house, which is eating up the budget for Rhinebeck. So
it's so unreasonable.
Completely unreasonable. New electrical? What? A kitchen that functions? That's crazy talk. Crazy. So the house we bought, most of the appeal was its proximity to my mom's house. So we've had to work with some interesting living conditions while we work up to what we want to do with the house and how we want to fix it up. So Rhinebeck was out again this year.
You're making it sound like you have a Flintstone kitchen.
It feels like I have a Flintstone kitchen. We're tiny people, and we can't fit two of us in there.
It's a very petite kitchen.
It is. It's a baby kitchen.
It's nice, and it has lovely sunlight.
Our house has good bones. I shouldn't complain. But because we're doing work, Rhinebeck is out. And Mom was so disappointed because we wanted to go out and see Franklin again and get him to sign our books. And I'm sure he'll sign our books when he comes out to California.
And hang with Franklin a bit.
And maybe some of our East Coast listeners. I think we've got people on the East Coast. East Coast?
We do. Are we going to ask people to holler? East Coast?
Holla. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that?
With your pink hair, maybe. Me, I'm too old to say holla.
So if you're going to be at the Boonville / Mendocino / California Sheep and Wool Festival, as always, I have hot pink hair. Mom's not far away, usually. And we'll be wandering around. Don't be afraid to come up and say hi.
Please do.
Yeah. We're very pleasant. We don't bite hard. So
we're just very strange.
We are just very strange. But I think in a good way. In the nice way. So please do come and see us. We would like nothing better than to meet people who listen. Or people who don't listen. I like to meet people.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know we're not talking into space.
You're meeting a lot of 5- and 6-year-olds who like your pink hair.
Oh, I'm envy of all 5- and 6-year-olds. Girls. I think my appeal... Well, I got some little boys tonight. We picked up dinner and talked about cars, and they liked my pink hair. So it's a winner. But yeah, so please come see us. It's good. Links for everything mentioned in the podcast can be found at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com. That's knitmoregirls.blogspot.com. And we would love to hear what you want to hear about. If there's something that you'd like us to discuss or that you're curious about, shoot us an email at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. You can also find our group on Ravelry under the Knit More Girls podcast. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.